Blog Talk Radio.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Of all the grounding studies, the one that really got our attention is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized, and their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67% with grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally, they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Hello, folks. We are here with Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as advocacy, awareness, support, and community. You can find us on Facebook at Barefoot is Legal. There is both a public group and a private page. So if you are looking for more of that community, more community-like interactions, you can find that on the private Facebook page. You'll have to ask a couple questions. Admin team will review it, let you in. It's just to make sure that we have, you know, family-friendly environment, people who are barefooters. You know, unfortunately, in the past, when it was a public group, you know, there were issues of people just coming in that were anti-barefooting or people who aren't keeping it family-friendly appropriate, and that's, you know, not what they're looking for. And, of course, Barefoot is Legal is a, you know, we try to keep it as family-friendly appropriate as possible. You know, this is a community where we want everyone to feel safe and accepted. And, you know, spread awareness and encouragement. But you can find more information on us at barefootislegal.org. There's a lot of great stuff there. If there's ways you want to, you know, see how you can, you know, help with Barefoot is Legal in any kind of way, there is a tab for that to help, you know, promote the cause and promoting awareness and advocacy for barefooting rights and barefooting, you know, as an accommodation and to be seen and accepted as an accommodation for anybody that needs it, whether it's for, you know, neurodivergency, mental health, your physical health, or whatever reason that may be, spiritual health, religion, culture. And you can find out more about the different laws, get corporate letters, different things like that. If you are somebody that has had a lot of confrontation and you would feel more comfortable having some form of documentation on you, that is a great resource available through barefootislegal.org. I definitely recommend checking out. You can also report unfriendly businesses through the site, which also helps other barefooters know that, like, hey, this is not a place that is accepting or, you know, barefooting friendly. So there's also some other great stuff on there, so definitely check it out. I'm Phoenix. Audrey should be here shortly. So sorry for any delays on that. But barefooting is completely legal in public space in the United States. There are no laws or health codes against you barefooting in public spaces, whether that be a park, a grocery store, a gas station, a public theater. The list goes really on and on, but I'm trying to think of like a good list. A restaurant, anything, because it's public spaces. So unfortunately, a lot of people still are not aware that there have never been any laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. Unfortunately, propaganda, you know, sometimes works and it sticks with people. And, you know, we've had generations of people, you know, being raised into fear mongering around barefooting. But we have to really think that this didn't arise until around the 1960s. I know I've mentioned, you know, the, you know, Western counterculture movement and the traditionalist movement and aspects around barefooting within that. But at the same time, consumerism has a lot to do with that. You know, the time period, I think, you know, the 50s and 60s was, you know, arguably one of the, that's actually hard to say, because definitely not one of the easiest times for a lot of different people and communities. But in terms of economic stability, it was a lot easier for most people, and, as you know, especially compared to now. But also that was when we really started seeing this big consumerism boom starting to take full effect. And, you know, people weren't spending money on their necessities, you know, as much, you know, solely on that, but, you know, instead had more money for things that, you know, they enjoyed, which is a great thing. And, you know, to be able to afford, you know, fun. And unfortunately, you know, we're in a time nowadays where even that's not even quite possible. like it once was during this time period. But unfortunately, you know, just so many factors of, you know, after two, you know, world wars and then, you know, consumerism, and there's so much to really be said about what has contributed to this, you know, really saw just this huge rise in unnecessary purchases and this hoarding and this need. But you have to think that a lot of people who do become hoarders are people that were raised in scarcity. A lot of people that didn't, you know, have anything. So even if people don't end up wealthy, this is how people turn into hoarders is, you know, even when I only have an associate degree in psychology, and I had to, you know, take a break from my education due to, you know, health reasons, being a severe burnout with my ADHD, my autism, and on top of all my other issues, my health. But it's still, you know, a special interest of mine. But that was something really talking about is how a lot of these, how trauma and scarcity and poverty and or not having things or having things taken from you suddenly, abruptly, whatever that may be. Because even relationships, you know, that can still play a role, even if it's not physical objects or, you know, shelter, home goods or, you know, physical tangible needs, even when having relationships and people taken from you, that can trigger a need for more security within physical, tangible needs, which can then cause hoarding to develop. And although, you know, I'm not going to say everyone is a hoarder, we've had this huge consumeristic mindset that just kind of exploded, and then it became an obsession, then became the cultural norm to consume, consume, consume. And there's so much to even be said about that, because we can't even, I have no blame for people that, you know, use, you know, what spare money they got for fun on their fun and, you know, chasing that dopamine, because, you know, when things are really hard and when you're going through trauma or, you know, really hard times or a lot of stress, that is going to generate, you know, this need for physical, tangible objects, a sense of security. And I don't think we really have fully, I don't think this has really been fully talked about in society, how this translates to clothes and fashion and all aspects of consumerism. Not only is there a fear-mongering of safety threats around barefooting, but but there's also this aspect of you have to have shoes because of the symbol of this consumeristic ideology for sure, but also this symbol of having something even. And so I think there's a lot of factors, and Audrey just arrived. No, you're good. I'm going to cough for 1 second. Sorry, I need to clear my throat and just trying to give her a quick catch up. But anyway, there's definitely a lot of the sense of needing and having around shoes that doesn't really come from true needing or want or desire. And it's definitely a, you know, get it if you want. You're good. And definitely, yeah, like a symbol of status, but also like some of those, you know, factors in society that built up to this need for having, and, you know, that came from scarcity and then a boom of abundance. And unfortunately we don't really have that anymore. We have this false idea of booming abundance, you know, but that's, you know, the new phase of the capitalistic consumerism obsession that we see going on. And sorry, this was honestly not really a planned rant or anything for this show, but it was something that just once I got started, I was just kind of thinking about. But, you know, going from this, you know, scarcity and then, you know, have this boom of abundance that, you know, we saw in the 50s and 60s, and then, you know, creating this obsession that then was, you know, forced onto people on top of the fear-mongering of safety because, you know, because you had an older generation that went through absolute, you know, horrors and nothingness. Yeah. And you have to think too that poverty is dangerous. Poverty in itself creates danger. Mm-hmm. And within people, within the infrastructure, within the environment, poverty and desperation is the biggest thing that creates conflict and division and horrors, really. And I actually saw, I'm not going to spoil anything, but I actually saw the new Hunger Games prequel last night in theaters, which was a big thing for me because I do not like theaters, the whole sensory thing. I definitely, my body hated me afterwards, but because I've seen all the Hunger Games movie now in theaters. And so maybe this is why it kind of actually got me thinking about consumerism and how this ties in. Maybe it's because that was in the back of my brain from last night. And I'm not going to spoil anything, but, you know, but anyway, so, you know, consumerism, just being on my brain, but, you know, in general, but one of the interesting things, you know, with the Hunger Games movies is I think they really show that. And I think it's really interesting because in certain areas, they're now being put on a banned book list, which is a red flag to me, personally anyways. But I think that really shows how much this twisted idea of fear of losing and not having for both sides and but also not really having anything and having the sense of scarcity in different areas and the fear and then, you know, the how poverty in general breeds just danger and lack of, you know, just safety in general.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and as much as, you know, some people may be like, oh, well, these are just movies. You know, I think that they show, I feel like it also shows a lot, not even just about current times, but history,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I really did like the prequel. I think it really kind of showed the time period, you know, before the 1950s and 60s of those hardships.
For society to get to where the society got to go.
Yeah. And, but at the same time, I really do think a lot of this having and wanting shoes and people buying as many shoes as possible, and I'm not going to judge you, but like what you like. If you could have a special interest in shoes, you could have an obsession, a hobby in shoes, and that is totally cool. If that's like, that's your thing. I'm not going to tell you can't do that or try to take that from you or something. But at the same time, I'm coming from this place of a lot of people are just obsessed and then project this onto other people, even people who don't have actual hobbies, special interests, or, you know, real passions in shoes, even just everyday average people. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with people that do. Like, your special interest is your special interest, your passion, your hobby, whatever. Totally valid.
Right.
But even people who aren't that invested in shoes still have this consumeristic mindset and project this onto other people. And even the fact that, you know, we make fun of people for what their shoes look and bullying and things like that, when it's like, okay, if shoes are so important, you need them so much, aren't they about necessity, keeping your feet safe? Mm-hmm. And I totally am like in support of, you know, dressing up in your style and whatever and your shoes, like, however you want, you know, if that is your choice, because like express yourself however you want to, like that's for you.
Right. Like I express myself with my clothes. I just don't need shoes to enhance it.
Yeah.
Like,
and you also have toe rings and anklets.
Yeah. So it's like,
you know, express yourself however you want to. But at the same time, a lot of people aren't even expressing themselves how they want to. They're expressing themselves through fashion and shoes the way they think other people want to, or just enough of themselves that they think is socially acceptable. And I honestly, most of us have fallen into this at some point in our lives. You know, I think a lot of people would be surprised to hear that, like, you know, that knew me, the way I dressed, the way I was just myself, my personality is always out there. But there were so many times where I downplayed it and masked it and showed just enough that I thought was socially appropriate. And I still got a lot of crap for it. But I was like, well, just enough to be me, you know? And I think a lot of people fall into that. And you understand that, you know, there is a time and place for shoes. There's time and places where I use shoes as a tool for safety, for whatever reason, even sometimes the sensory issues and whatever. But there is this obsession, unfortunately, that I think has unfolded. And, you know, although we're living in a different economy now, a lot of people are trying to maintain these old ideas of symbol and status. But I do see the younger generations, even those younger than me, that are really trying to challenge that.
Well, one of the things that I hear a lot, honestly, about why some people don't want to go barefoot is because I don't want people to think I'm poor.
Yeah.
And I've heard that more times than I can count. And my response to that is like, okay, so buy a really expensive outfit. Just don't get the shoes. Like, if you're worried about people being able to tell if you're poor or not based on anything you're wearing, just wear expensive clothes then. And then you don't have to wear shoes.
Even if you're not.
But it's so funny how sometimes they can still see it as like, I have a $3,000, you know, suit on or whatever, but I'm barefoot, so I look poor. I'm like, but your suit costs more than my car.
And also, even if you're somebody who doesn't, you know, have the money to spend like that, of course.
Right.
You can still find ways of just being selective of what you wear, you know, just, and honestly, you can find great things at thrift stores if you need to go to thrift stores to afford your clothes. Unfortunately, summer are overpriced thrift stores, not even gonna lie. It's been dicey lately on that, you know.
You gotta be careful wherever you go,
Yeah, for sure. But, like, you know, just it sounds crazy, but, like, you know, just try to be articulate with what you wear and choosing your style and what you feel comfortable in. Because also what you feel comfortable and confident in is going to transcend what you're wearing. You know, even if it fits someone else's style or thing, I know that even the stuff that I've worn that other people find very kind of controversial style, the way I mix, you know, like feminine, masculine, like my feminine, masculine energy, the way I present
that,
or is just the different pattern combos, color, you know, so many different things about that. Like what I've worn, I've had so many people that in the things that are very quote unquote controversial to some people, rather than looking the certain way that, you know, perhaps maybe some people think I should.
I've had so many people tell me
that I look better in the things I'm more comfortable and confident in, and I feel better, and I think I look better. And I think that translates across for so many other people because it's about you feeling good. When your energy and then you have, like, that, your energy together, like, it's going to transcend for sure. And caring about what people think, like, it's hard because it's really easy to get obsessed about just negative experiences with barefooting. And when that happens, you know, it can be easy to get in your head, especially if you already have insecurities, depression, anxiety, anything else, whatever, you know, that can cause these things to naturally arise, you know, to take the criticism too seriously, get caught up in it.
Yeah.
But worrying about it and trying to people please and fit and mold yourself into what people like is not going to make you any better presented. It's not going to make you any better respected or perceived or accepted. If you, honestly, and even from experience, just learning to just accept being controversial and a social enigma as someone with ADHD and autism and as a barefooter and so many other aspects of my personality and self, the more I just accept that and just I'm like, yep, this is who I am, the more in those moments when I can accept that, the more confident I am and the more I'm able to do whatever task I'm doing better, the better suited I am to really do anything, you know, then versus the other time, the better, easier it is for me to handle conflict or issues. And also, too, even when people have that nasty judgmental energy, they're less likely to confront you. They're less likely
when you're confident because it's like they can sense. They go after people if they sense weakness in, and if you they can't sense that in you, then
and so
they don't want any part of it because they know they're bound to fail.
And
themselves.
It sounds almost crazy, but even people that may not like you will respect you more even if you accept your controversy.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you should necessarily.
That doesn't mean that they're
blind and crave their
that they'll like
their
you.
Respect. You know,
liking
but we deserve respect as people.
There's people I don't like that I can't stand, but I respect.
You know, because believe me, there's a lot of people I don't want their respect, but, you know, I know I deserve it anyway. As a human being, we all deserve it. And I'm not going to, you know, beg for their respect or anything, but I'm not going to let them take away my self-respect for myself.
Right.
Because, so at the end of the day, you know, maintain, and that can be a really hard thing to maintain for sure. Oh, it looks like we have a caller with a hand up. Sorry, I do not know how long you've been waiting. I just saw this.
We're easily distracted, and I'm, I forgot things busted open in my purse. Pull my purse out.
It's always something.
I'm always cleaning my purse out of your house. Always. You know what I'm saying? But today I like need to. Like my afternoon meds, this whole thing. I bought this cute thing. I bought this cute thing to hold my medicine, but then it pops open super easy and then jumps out in my purse. I'm like, well, that's not helpful.
Yeah.
I got it so I didn't have to carry the pill bottle. Anyway, moving on.
I would leave a bad review.
So other people know.
So other people know, because, I mean, like, meds is important.
Yeah, I'm like, got like, the bottom, and I work with children, and I've got, you all know me, ADHD, I have Adderall all in the bottom of my purse, and it looks
prescribed, of course.
Yes, prescribed. Doctor prescribed by my doctor to me. But, like, it just, like, the little container I got to carry it into the bottle, like, popped open. It's not broken. It's just, look. It works. It's just that it goes in way too easy.
Well,
so anyway,
I told you what Audrey's doing. Sorry, guys. But we'll go ahead and let you on. Let's see if it'll load. Hello, caller?
Yes, I'm here. Can you finally hear me?
No.
Oh, outstanding.
It is. How are you today?
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, this is your good old friend Kevin again. Just calling from a new number.
Gotcha. Okay. How's it
been?
Yeah. Yeah. Well. I guess all the other times I tried to get on, but y'all got carried away with y'all conversation before the show was over.
Yeah, sorry about that. We have a tendency to go off on tangents.
And not look at the computer screen that tells us. Because
having never to be rude or ignore it.
Yes, for sure. Usually it's like we're paying more attention to the phone than we are the computer screen. So, sorry. But what did you, like, is there anything exactly, like, you want to, come on and share with us, talk about?
Oh, of course, always. You know, first of all, I had to unfortunately relocate back to Virginia. So, it's too early for this cool weather. Way too early. It's not even Thanksgiving yet.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not ready for it. Yeah. I didn't like it at all myself.
Well, but then again, who is? I mean, my feet still can't handle snow anyways. So,
right.
So,
and you're used to Florida, ain't
you? But then again, of course, even if it, in the event that it does snow, which I do expect it to, you know, hey, I'll just put on my work boots if I have to. I moved back up here. And I really, my work boots don't count, but I really only brought two pairs of shoes and a pair of sandals for the, you know, those just in case situations. Then I bring another pair of shoes for the gym, because I go to the gym on the Navy base, you know, and they don't play that.
That's a little different when you're military involved.
On military bases, you know, that's a completely different story from everybody else.
Right, right.
I mean, even in a grocery store, because I got away with it before, but I know already knew for a fact that I know somebody's gonna say something. So, and because it's a military grocery store, you know, it's not going to hurt me to slide zero shoes on, or even my pair and shopping and go in peace. So that I can handle. That's not a big deal.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But anyway,
an aspect of safety and security in your job, you know? So it's like that you have to do that, you know? And like,
So that, yeah, for sure. I don't even think that really counts as like, oh, I'm not barefooting though either anyway. Because
yeah.
It's like one of those things where, you know, you don't have a choice. It doesn't make you any less of a barefooter at all.
No.
Sorry,
of course not. You know, I still to this day, I still detest flip-flops. I will not ever, and I do mean ever, buy a pair of flip-flops. Never.
Right. Yeah. No,
you know.
So, bad, yeah.
So I had, so first of all, when I moved back here, I got two stories, actually, if y'all got time. So, I went to Walmart, which is down the street somewhere, and it's the same Walmart that I've been to the last time I lived in this area, and I had zero issues with this Walmart. So now here's
right.
4.5 years later. 4.5 years later, I come back. I'm thinking, well, shouldn't be no problem. I had no problems before. But then, I didn't think that, you know, that people shift around, and they really do shift around,
right.
You know. So there I am, barefoot with a short skirt on, wearing all pink, and I'm in the men's section. Some lady talked about, oh, you can't be here with no shoes on, I'm on the phone with whoever the hell I was on the phone with, you know. and I guess she radioed the manager, right? And he was like, oh, you know, you can't be here with no shoes on. I'm like, you know, Walmart don't have a policy and blah 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 blah. You know, then he was like, oh, well, you're not even appropriate dressed. You don't even got no shorts on. I'm like, I looked at my shirt. I'm like, I do have bottom on. I'm wearing a skirt. You know. So then he's like,
right.
please leave. So that is when I call corporate. And I told them what happened, you know what I'm saying? And the lady I was talking to, like, you know, that's not right, and this and that and the other thing, you know. So the manager actually called me, talk about there was a I know you got a complaint. Give me a call. And every time I try to call, can't get through, you know. Then when I try to get through, oh, the manager's off. Then I go inside the store to try and talk to the manager. They're like, can I see so and so? The manager, like, oh, he's off today. I'm like, well,
oh,
goodness
God.
Gracious. I'm like,
Lord.
Goodness gracious. I wanted to see this dude face to face with my complaint. Now I haven't been back to that Walmart since, because I don't really have a reason to go there right now. But it's just the fact
yeah.
that how I keep, number one, how I keep missing this person. Two, how is it I keep calling the service desk time and time and time and time and time again. It can't get through for nothing. You know, so.
Yeah, it sounds
so,
to me like they're
so,
lying.
So, yeah, so one of these days I'm gonna catch that dude if I go over there and explain. You know, so second story is, I just got back from the movies, right? And this is the movie theater that I've never been to. It's a small theater, you know. Now,
mm-hmm.
I'm about to go to my seat. I wanted to take a picture because I'm thinking everything's all good. Then all of a sudden, some lady talk about, you. And wait for it. Here it comes. She, I'm about to take a picture. She's like, you can't be in here barefoot because it is a health code violation. We serve food.
Oh, boy.
It's a safety violation. And I'm trying to tell her, no, it's not. Of course, I really wanted to see this movie because since The Marvels came out, I really wanted to see the movie. You know, so.
Right.
So I was like, wow, okay, health code violation, safety violation. We serve food. This is also a restaurant.
That has nothing to do with customers' attire. That's like saying you have to wear it because
they
serve food that customers have to wear a hairnet to go in.
Yeah.
Like, literally, like,
well, yeah,
no. Bro,
because I work in food service still, so I know the drill, you know, but my thing is, why do these employees still believe this stuff? Why do they still believe that? Knowing they really got no facts to back it up. I mean, you honestly think that the health code inspector is going to come and see a barefoot customer, you're going to get shut down?
They really do.
And that's where I think it's the propaganda that has just taken a hold of people, and people have taught it to their children generation after generation. If you think about it, what we're taught when we're young, unless we have a reason to challenge it, because there's this natural reason within ourselves, or like a life experience or empathy for another person that experiences things that you will never experience or haven't experienced. Like, until people have those things, they're force them to naturally challenge. A lot of people just, you don't ever challenge the things they were taught when they were a kid. But even if you think about it psychologically, those things become so embedded within us. And even from experience, like, it's a little like different, but even like working through trauma, like those beliefs from childhood, those things, how those things can become so innate, and they're just background. It's like that, like the background, you know, virus. Or, sorry, a virus running around in the background, like on a computer, just performing all these things. And really it's like, you know, destroying, you know, the system, but the system keeps running and you're unaware of it until there's a problem that arises in your life. It's like a lot of these.
Part of the conversation, if you cut your foot, we're liable. It's on us. That right there, I think I heard all the excuses in one conversation is ridiculous.
That's
now.
Crazy.
Why do I need shoes to go into the movie theater?
Yeah, exactly. I've been to the movie theater no shoes before, multiple times. I've never had a problem. That like no
well,
one's
people
ever. People are ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't understand humans.
Yeah, some people do, and some people don't. You know, I mean, in matter of fact, and
right.
I think we talked about this before. Is like, what does selling food have anything to do with a customer not having shoes?
Exactly. Yeah. And like I said, if they want to play that, well, we serve food here, so you have to wear shoes, that's like saying, okay, well, you serve food here, why don't I have to wear a hairnet? Why don't I have to wear latex gloves? You know, why? It's
the customers are not the ones preparing.
I'm not messing with the food. You serve it. I'm not touching it.
You know, and also, your feet are on the ground. People's shoes are tracking in the same amount honestly, people's shoes are probably tracking in more gunk or whatever.
Because they don't get washed and they've got tread.
Yeah, most people are not out here washing their shoes or cleaning their shoes thoroughly, properly by any means, unless it's like, oh, if I got mud on them, now I have to, you know.
Right.
But, you know, most of us barefooters anyway, we wash our feet regularly.
A couple times a day even.
Yeah, and find other ways of, yeah. And it's just, I don't know, it's definitely mind-blowing, though, just the level of ignorance.
The thing is with everybody, they're just focusing on one part of the body. Okay, so it's like, all right, you know, okay, I cut my foot, y'all think y'all liable, but I cut my foot, I step on something, fine, you know. But, you know, I could bring up the argument, well, you know what, whatever I cut my foot on, I could cut my hand the exact same way, but y'all don't tell me to wear gloves.
Exactly.
Y'all don't tell nobody to wear gloves. Y'all just focus on the feet. You know what I'm saying? It's a safety issue. Okay, so it's like, let's say I put on shoes and I slipped on something, and I sprained my ankle. What are you going to tell me then? You told me to put on shoes because of the safety issue, but I just slipped in your establishment. I sprained my ankle. What are you going to tell me? What exactly?
Right.
What words do you have to tell me to comfort me?
These are what keeps me safe. Then why? How did I get hurt wearing them?
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about making people do something that they don't normally do, and then they get hurt. You know, then it really is on the company.
Exactly.
I think I'm right about that.
Yeah, probably. It sounds familiar. My brain kind of
I've never been inside a movie theater in which they bring food to your seat. Why are you watching the movie? So this theater, you know, don't have no concession stand, but they say
right.
It was like a restaurant. I saw the full blown kitchen, or at least some of it through the door. I got my picture right before she said something. I should have probably went straight to my seat. I really wanted the picture, but like I said, I should have probably went straight to my seat. You know, it was a good movie.
She should have minded her own business. What should have happened? That's not on you.
As we know, in every place of business, there's that one employee that has to say something. Always
yeah.
That one. When I pass by, three of them, maybe four of them, and they ain't saying nothing until that lady says something. I was about to go take my seat.
Right.
You know, and it's a movie theater. Let the people enjoy themselves. That's all you want
to
do.
And how comfortable is to sit and watch a movie with shoes on? Like, that's the thing. Like, what do they do if somebody goes through and, like, they take their shoes off during the movie because it's just more comfortable? Because, you know, it's kind of how people do it at their house is they watch, you know. Most people don't sit on their couch watching a movie with their shoes on.
So now we're getting to the point where I'm going with something on my feet, so they won't say nothing. Then take them off when I get to my seat, and don't put them back on, you know. So now, of course, I don't think they would say anything if the movie's over and I'm walking out with my shoes in my hand. At least I hope
right.
they don't. I would
arm myself with everything in writing that I could have about it, and then just going with that and say, well, what about this law? What about that law? What about the fact there are no health codes, or the fact that it doesn't matter if you're serving food or not, that the customer's attire has no bearing on, you know, whether or not you get to be open, and just go again anyway. But that's me.
Yeah, and even, like, if there's any of the documentation on barefootislegal.org that you think might help, like, seeing what you might go to print off and what would help, for sure. Like, if you're really having, like, this many issues, I honestly think it might be good for you to just, if you can, print it off, armed and ready. Because unfortunately, it seems like some of these people are just not reasonable, and it's like mm-hmm. you're not even able, and this isn't against you, but because of how unreasonable these people are, you're not even able to reason with them.
Now, did they give you the money back for your ticket?
No. I went and saw the movie. I mean, Alexa, I keep a pair of sandals in my car for when stuff like this happens. I mean, Alexa, I really,
okay.
really want to see this. You know what I'm saying?
It just throws me for
a loop at what these people believe, and you know, it's like well, I'm the plaintiff and you're the defendant. You know, I got this to back it up, but y'all can provide no proof. So judging for the plaintiff in the amount of $500, so.
Right.
So people are still not educated. I now have to remember to pull up my Barefoot Rights card, which is on my phone. I keep forgetting to do that every single time.
Yeah, but people, I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah,
I agree with you on that. It's just ridiculous. I mean, and it's the same excuse you get tired of hearing, it's the same excuses now.
Yeah. You know? Same wrong information.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So, well, if you try again, you'll have to keep us posted on how it goes next time.
Well, it depends on what's playing. You know what I'm saying? You know, because as a matter of fact, on the bass when I was here the first time, I haven't had this issue when I was at the when I go to the movie theater on bass.
To go there and play?
Yeah, I mean all the time. I mean, of course, our movie theater with this movie theater doesn't show movies every day like a regular outside movie theater. It's just on certain days, but still, I haven't had an issue with that.
Okay.
You know, I even go to the bowling alley barefoot, right? Now, of course, unlike some people, I cannot bowl without the bowling shoes. That I tried that before, and that did not work. It just totally threw my timing off. Not like bowling game. So that'd be the only exception.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's like the only pair of shoes I've bought
in the past 3 years is a pair of bowling shoes, because I'm like, I'm not wearing anybody else's shoes.
Yeah.
Only because if it was a game, I would have, but like the fact that I'm on a league and I need them every week, I'm like, no, I'm not. No. No.
And that's just me.
But I did buy a pair of bowling shoes for that.
Well,
$60 for the pair of shoes or rent them for $4 a week.
Yeah, and just money.
Money-wise.
Between money and even just like.
And they think they're safe because
they only wear them a couple hours a week. It can be weird because it's like, I feel like with having bowling shoes, if they're shoes you're wearing regularly, I definitely understand. Like, I might, you know, borrow someone's shoes or, because like, I don't wear shoes, but like, you know, really, and at the time, but when I do have shoes for necessary, like, purposes, I'll wear them so they fall apart. But sometimes, like, if I'm going outside and I don't want to get my socks wet and it's, like, cold, and because sometimes I'll just take my socks off. I'm like, oh, I don't want to get my socks or feet wet or it's cold. Like, I'll just, you know, slip on, like, my partner's shoes and, or, you know, or if I'm somewhere else, like, you know, at my sister's or friends or whatever, like, potentially. And for that reason, but, like, if it's something you're going to be using like that regularly for bowling, I feel like it does just make sense to have your own shoes. And, you know, thinking about too, just like athlete's foot, sweating, you know, if you're in them for long periods of time regularly, and just even if you got socks, swapping out their shoes, like personally, I do think it's more cleanly. And I think my reasons for being a barefooter is why I think it would be in that case for specific reasons.
Yeah.
More clean to buy your own shoes.
Yeah.
And rent others. Also, we don't need an autism ick to think about, you know?
It's not like just borrowing somebody else's shoes. It's like doing something that you're good at. Your feet are probably going to sweat a bit.
Yeah.
And other people.
And
I haven't
like
God knows how many other
people
get
off like a busy night. You know, it's just, I don't know why I'm on it.
It's hella gross, okay? But like I said, I used to, when I would just bowl for fun with friends, I'd rent the shoes.
Yeah.
But like going every week, I just bought the shoes. I was like, nope. Plus, it's cheaper in the long run. I found a pair for like $60 versus, like I said, $4 a week.
Yeah. Well, and when I was single.
Anyway, we went on this a lot longer than I planned.
But like what I was saying even earlier about like consumerism, the beginning of the show, and like how this is people, you know. It, you know, because there are people who are, you know, obsessively, you know, buying shoes all the time.
Yeah.
And there are people that have, you know, the same type of shoe, you know. Like, they have four or five different pairs of it. And,
yeah.
And I understand, again, if it's your special interest, your hobby, a passion, respect to you.
But
for everyday consumerism, and when you think about all the factors, you know, child labor, you know, just poorly paid labor or, you know, slavery even that goes on in the production of our goods,
You know, consumerism is really dangerous, not just to us and our environment, but to other people.
Yeah.
Too, you know, especially we export this workers' abuse. It's ridiculous.
Exploit.
Well, exploit and export it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, no, exploit too. No. But even in our own country, we exploit it. So, yeah, unfortunately. And so it's like consumerism is just, it's not a really good cult to be a part of. But, like, at the same time, if you're buying shoes for a very specific reason, that's not consumerism. That's practicality.
That's need-based buying.
So buying bowling shoes or, like, you know, Kevin, you're talking about
work boots.
Your work boots, your, you know, shoes for at the gym, you know, your slides for when you – or, like, sandals for when you need them.
Buying what you need.
Like, those are things that, you know, are a necessity. Even for me, like, you know, I have the same pair of Vans I've had forever for when I need shoes in the colder months. And, like, last winter I wore my boots down to nothing, so I'm going to need new ones, you know, for the snow this year.
My negative consumerism goes into my crystal buying habit. I'm not even going to lie.
That's like one of your special interests, and that's definitely special interest, and that's definitely dopamine, and I don't judge people, you know, if you need that dopamine, like, you know, like it's hard to survive, we all want nice and good things. But I think it's more true is we see so many people that aren't even buying shoes from necessity, but instead like that scarcity mindset of I need to have something, and they project that onto us. You know, people that don't feel
the little
the same
people
need, you know,
or
and,
make sure that you're not as important as somebody else if you don't have shoes or some sort of latest good.
Yeah, in general, yeah.
And it's sickening
and it's harmful. I mean, just I just want to touch on this real quick, but like what's going on in the Congo.
Well, that's why
when
my kids, when they tell me something that they want and the reason they want it is because so-and-so has it, I'm like, no.
Not a good reason.
No,
I
don't.
I understand if it's something like you really want. Like,
yeah,
no. Genuinely, like, I want this. But it's okay for us to want things, to want to buy
well,
things.
Yeah, of course it is. But like, if your sole purpose in what
it
is because somebody else has it, then I just tell them, like, nope, you
that's
can,
not.
Then you can earn your own money for it, but I'm not going
to
buy it.
You know, but obviously you want to give your kids what they want, but you don't want them to become people pleasers.
I want to give them what they need.
Yeah.
And
well,
some
no,
of what
well, not like what they want, like give them everything they want, you know, in like a spoiled way. But like, you know, as a parent, like you want to give your kids joy and you want them to have those things that, you know, they want within reason, of course.
Right.
But you don't want them to become people pleaser, sheep, crowd followers that are only doing things for other people.
Right,
you
right,
know?
No, absolutely.
It should be about them and finding and discovering their personalities, their interests, their likes. And, you know, and so I think that's a really good reason to not honestly buy things for your kids is you're doing this for because other people have it and because you want to fit in. What about finding you and your identity and the things that you, make you happy and make you feel good? And I think that if we really just thought more about this in terms of not even just shoes, but everything, even people buying the latest new iPhone, again, with everything going on with big tech and the Congo, just people and children, oh my God, even it just, oh, being exploited, and it's just so inhumane and horrible. And this is just, and then you have people that normalize and justify these things even. It's crazy to me. And like, oh, well, you know, we need these goods, blah, blah, blah. These companies have the money to set up industry training centers, you know, safety codes. And that's where it's like, you know, hard for me because when people point out like people not having shoes, and this does relate, this has to do with both the Congo and, you know, barefooting. You know, naturally as a barefooter, like when people point out people not having shoes, like usually in most contexts, you know, that strikes a little bit of a nerve because it's like, what's the big deal? What's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, I mean, there are children in the Congo, in the DRC, who, you know, are mining for cobalt and coltan in mines with bare feet.
See, that's different.
And
that goes
and,
to the fact that I wouldn't be a chemist without shoes.
Yeah, and just like we talked about how you wouldn't be a construction worker
exactly.
And not be wearing
that's
shoes.
Just safety.
And the fact that this is how big, massive tech companies are depending on their mining
it's
for
sad.
Coltan and cobalt is, it's not even sad, it's sociopathic.
Oh, yeah.
It is. And, you know, and
So I think we really need to start, like, really digging deep and looking into this, these consumerism ideologies, because it's not even just because, you know, with it's all interrelated. Barefooting, consumerism, the planet, you know, destruction. Yeah, I mean, if I had some money, I'd buy all the shoes. You know, like,
Huh? Did you say something, Kevin?
No, I'm
sorry.
I'm just,
I sounded like you might have been trying to say something. We got all the
chance I've been enjoying the competitive banter with us versus the world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
but the exploitation of people is, you know, it's tied into the same way that we don't value or listen to other people's bodies. By, you know, these tech companies could afford a set of industries and training centers and give these people livable, more than even livable wages, really.
And to safely extract these minerals.
Yeah, and make sure that those who are willing, you know, are, you know, too, because there are a lot of people that are forced into this. And
well, just think about what it had to be. Think about what had to be done in this country to get child labor laws in place.
Yeah.
And the fact that a whole lot of fighting
power and,
for
and
that
the
too.
Fact that there are companies that were even found in this country that are still exploiting and exporting, or exporting child labor is insane, and are hurting so many people. But it's interesting to me is we have this weird ideology around shoes where, okay, so it's wrong for you to not wear them and safe, legal, totally harmless environment
there
for your body, your well-being, your mindset, your whatever reason, your culture.
Who cares
your
what your reason is?
You
yeah.
know, but these are very valuable.
Oh, no,
people.
I agree, but that's
for sure. And but then we're going to have big tech companies having, you know, children, women, and men barefoot mining for cobalt and coltan in mines.
Yeah.
And
that's
and
okay.
No safety or that no
is
equipment.
Okay. Look here, Phoenix. As long as I get my new phone, I don't care.
And it's
and that's
sad.
not my real.
Yeah, I know
response.
That's not your actual
I'm making sure everybody listening on the radio.
But the sad thing is that's how so many people think.
That everybody on the radio knows that I don't actually feel that way.
And you know what? Here's the thing. I like.
Some people have.
You know,
yeah.
I do like,
what did you say, Kevin?
No, of course, I do like the fact that when you go, let's say you go to AT&T or T-Mobile or whoever, right, they're not even paying attention to that. Maybe they see it, you know, that they don't have no shoes on, but they're not even paying attention to that. They're treating you like a regular customer. Because they want your business,
right?
They want to make sure that your service is still good, you know, and stuff like that. They're not going to be like, I'm sorry, I can't fix your phone, or you can't pay your bill in here because you don't have no shoes on. Oh no. They do not do that at all. They do not do that.
Right.
They treat you like any other regular customer, and I completely enjoy that from these companies.
Phone companies are actually one of the places I've never had a problem with.
But that's the thing is there's a difference between big tech and phone cell service providers, and so yeah,
they're
actually
kind of one
and
the same.
You know,
really.
I mean, yes. But also you have to think that the people working for these companies, they're not involved in the mines. They're not involved.
A regular employee of the company might not even know that that's happening.
Yeah, they may not even be aware of what's happening.
What they're working for.
And they're trying to make sure that they don't get a, you know, customer complaint, that they keep, you know, their customers happy. They're just average people working their job, you know. And so it's definitely like – and so I do think that there are good environments there, but understanding that there is a whole chain of command too, and customer service is also very different than the, you know, harvesting of labor or the harvesting of goods and stuff, resources. And, you know, developing and making those goods than, you know, selling those goods.
Right.
But I just think it's interesting that we have just this idea in American society where I've seen people trying to justify, you know, what's going on in Congo, the treatment of these people, and their absolute lack of pay, despite what these...
Probably, like, they know what they agreed to. Like, really? Does a six-year-old child... Does a six-year-old child know what they agreed to? Do they really?
They're doing this out of pure
necessity. You try and put a six-year-old child under a contract in this country, you're going to get laughed out of court for trying to uphold it. Come on.
You know, breeds danger.
My 11-year-old gets paid to rake weeds, not harvest freaking cobalt.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is like I said, like before, poverty breeds danger.
No,
and
exactly.
So, and that's a situation where people are so desperate, they're endangering themselves, and it's a sad system.
Yeah.
And that's where we can't, you know, blame people.
They'll do what they got to do. How else are they going to get food?
Yeah. How else are they going to survive?
What other job is there for them?
What other choice? Messed up. Yeah, and there's so much other violence happening on the CRC.
It
has been for a long
time.
Yeah, and unfortunately, people don't even realize the way that imperialistic government systems and consumerism has played into this. How many governments are supporting this financially is scary when you do your digging.
Yeah.
It's just
not to be political, of course.
Yeah, but it is obscene, and it's all connected because as we destroy people's health, and we destroy this planet. You know, it's tied into that with barefooting.
What
health?
I heard hells.
Oh,
I'm very confused. Sorry.
You know, it's all tied into, you know, us not listening to our bodies and telling other people they should deny listening to their bodies or what their bodies need.
Yeah.
And it's just a never-ending cycle where a lot of the same people that will justify what's happening and even the barefoot, you know, the dangers of being barefoot in a mine are the same ones that are going to be like, why don't you have to do that? It's insane. It's actually insane.
And it's totally safe, clean, non-toxic environment.
And it's, we just need to just drop it all, like, on it and just learn to have empathy with one another. Whatever your reason is, stop caring about what other people told you that you should feel or think about this person based upon whatever, like, check boxes that are so limiting, and instead listen to them, get to know them, have empathy, and realize that they're a real person.
Yeah, with their real thoughts and their real...
They're not a generalization. No one is a generalization.
We're not just a number. Our Social Security number is not all that makes
sense. And I mean, we talk about generalizations too, but to call out problems, but we're not going in and harassing people the way that people harass us in our daily lives as barefooters. Or for any other reason, really, that people harassed is over out of bigotry.
Right.
And it is insane. And I think that also, too, the system of consumerism, capitalism, it also not only breeds danger, but apathy. And apathy is part of that danger.
Right.
And I think, though, too, apathy, it doesn't just come from being out of touch with reality and being spoiled. It also happens when you're put in those positions of poverty where you've had it so bad where you're like, well, if I've been through it, they can survive it too. Or, well, I've had it worse, you know, so when other people have problems. But again, that is our own empathy being manipulated from us, this divide and conquer system. These disparity gaps that we see all around us are very intentional.
Oh, yeah.
And
definitely.
It is. And I feel like I'm having a hard time really fully communicating in a way that it's all interconnected. I just hope that
I feel like you're articulating
other people see it though. Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I feel like I'm rambling, honestly. But
that's not, they're not mutually exclusive.
That's true. That's
you might
true.
Be rambling, but your articulation has done well.
And it's my
The articulated story. Ramble. That sounds like the name of a poetry book or something.
Or like
the
a band.
Yeah, the articulated ramble.
Literally.
Anyway, moving on. The well-articulated ramble.
Yes.
There we go.
But even too, like, if you think about this destruction of this planet, not to be morbid right now, but, you
why
know,
not? We've gone to children and minds for
yeah,
better
yeah,
for COVID,
I know.
So.
I kind of said that as
there's
sarcastic.
Really,
say,
there's really not anything more morbid than the abuse of children
you know,
in my book.
No, for sure. But that's what I was going to say. I was like, you know, not being morbid, I even already went there. I probably didn't make it sound as sarcastic as I meant to, though.
Yeah, you
did.
You did.
That's the thing that I hate is I'm either way too expressive with tone or not expressive enough, and then I realized I was like, oh, that sounded like I was more serious than I intended. Sorry. But anywho, yeah. You know, there's morbidity all around us, and of course there's nothing more morbid than
you
say
type
of thing happening in the Congo and the children and just women and men, just the way that they're being affected, family, the elderly, everyone, you know. But the global destruction of this planet through capitalism that has gone unchecked, consumerism, pollution, it's insane.
I
and
agree.
It's going to affect all of us. But, you know, if we think about barefooting, like, you know, I don't, and maybe, you know, me, as much as I talk about this on here to some people may be like, okay, like, chill out. Like, what's the point of this barefoot is legal? But how are we going to barefoot if we don't have a planet that's safe enough to barefoot in?
Exactly.
How? And I love nature. That's my favorite place to barefoot. That's most of
it's
our
favorite
places
to be, period.
To barefoot. And
yeah.
I understand that we all feel so powerless. But, and I do, too, all the time. But when I come on here and I'm able to bring it up, I know that, you know, other people are listening. The fact that I'm talking about it is going into some airways. The fact that
there's
we're
somebody
on,
that else is
we're
on the same wavelength.
Yeah. And knowing that there are other people out there, you know, this community is how we get these issues addressed.
Yeah.
Community is how we rise up and challenge the problems in society. So, you know, yeah, there is a powerlessness in it, but the more that we condemn their brand, their ideology, their propaganda, whatever
yeah.
else that they are slewing on to us, I think that was the right word. Anyway, it's like that is, we have to challenge it because the more we get to talking, the more that it becomes
yeah.
uncool. And, you know,
the
more
attention
their brand
is on the fact that it's happening.
Because.
Yeah.
You know, when one, and I think, and I had a friend that was talking about this, like, you know, yeah, it's like we, you know, not always really wanting to talk or post about things, you know, that we don't know enough about and how hard it is to stay up and stay informed on different issues, but trying to keep up just enough and multitask just enough.
Right.
But you know, the same friend, you were saying, but the fact that we're even talking about this in a normal friend setting context,
casual conversation, I
think shows that enough people are also probably having the same conversation. Enough people are aware that this is a, you know, that this is, that we're probably not the only one. And the fact that we're even spending the time talking about this, imagine what other people that are more better suited and educated and more involved with what they're doing, and how even us just starting talking about it in our own personal conversations, how we get that snowballing into
right.
the world, you know. And so if you don't know where to start and you want to help things, you know, start, you maybe, and I get it, you can't bring these things up to everyone, but bring it up to the people that you know you can or think you can, and, you know, start talking about these things. And, you know, there's the fossil fuel treaty. I believe it's the secret of fossilfueltreaty.org is what it is.
Okay.
There, you can sign as an individual, but certain states have signed, certain countries have signed. Like, it's a huge, like,
okay.
international fossil fuel treaty thing. So, like, yeah. And, if you, I've already endorsed it as an individual. Technically, it's like endorsing is what it's called. But, yeah, so.
Yeah,
I believe Hawaii and California, I know, are, yeah, those are two that I know for sure that have endorsed the fossil fuel treaty. And so, like, different things like that. There's, I can't remember them off the top of my head. Hopefully, maybe I can get some together next week that we can just bring up to give some people a little bit more comfort.
Oh,
but there are a lot of different organizations out there that are working to protect the environment, to challenge things. And they are, you know, they are making progress. They've been making progress. They're getting headway. Like, things are more in the right direction, I think, a lot of people think. Yeah, things are really, really bad when you really take a good look at the world. And yeah, the news feeds us all the horrible stuff. And then when they feed us good stuff, it's like really stupid good stuff most of the time. That's not like actually good. But there's a lot of actual good happening. It's just not being talked about. It's not being televised. It's not being broadcast in the same way.
We all get the grief.
It's not being shared. And a lot of this is grassroots, local communities that are coming together and expanding. You know, the internet has really helped a lot with this. And because internet is our media and our control. Yes, not all of it entirely, But think about it. Think about how much more control we as individuals and people that can start their own organizations, even like through Barefoot is Legal, how much more control we have through sharing our truth and the truth and information through these forms of media, like Barefoot is Legal radio here on Freedomizer Radio, than, you know, sharing through, you know, a lot of big mainstream media. And a lot of the things that are being fed to us are, it is just the horrors. We're not seeing all the good that's happening. And I think if more people could see the good that's already coming together and happening, how just in thousands, people would just be jumping on that.
Right.
You know, millions probably. And because the people, most people don't know. They don't know where to go to. So I already kind of have some things together. So I'm going to see if I can get that kind of like wrapped up into a shareable way to just share some things. Maybe next week, find like a way to share some links.
Right.
You know, maybe like, because I would like to have just like, if I use the link tree for Barefoot is Legal, just have one link where I can share multiples of these things.
Got it.
But, you know, we do need to be aware about these things. We need to talk about these things. And I think I'm done on this tangent, but I just wanted to get that out there. And I want to remind people that there is hope. And I think that the reason why a lot of people don't have hope is because they don't know that any hope exists.
Yeah.
And there is hope. You know,
right. I hear you.
Well, did you have anything else to say, Kevin? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I just thought about something. Last week on Veterans Day, of course, I had to get my free meal from somewhere. So went to this restaurant called Smoky Bones. It's a very good restaurant. And of course, it was very noticeable because I had a I think I posted that because I was wearing a short white skirt and it was obviously noticeable but no issues. I barely have issues with restaurants, you know.
Right.
And now of course on the other side, before I moved back up here to Virginia, I actually had a BIL meetup with somebody with this couple.
Mm-hmm.
And we met somewhere. We went out to eat and went a few places and stuff like that. First, it was another, I think we went to go eat first at some restaurant. No issues there. Then in the same shop, right around the same shopping center, I think. When it went into Target, no problems in Target. The one place that kicked us out was Party City, even though the people that I was with showed them the BIL card and all this stuff. You know, the lady was like, "Oh, I've never encountered this, something like this before." The person that he was talking to. So
right.
So we end up getting kicked out. Michael's I think it's like a art store or something. Michael's
the craft store. Yeah.
We almost got kicked. We were about to get kicked out and show them the information. I guess the lady listened and was like, "Okay, you're good. You're good to go."
I've never been kicked out of Michael's or like Hobby Lobby or any of those, or even a Target. That's so crazy.
Party City involved. Now, of course, for me, right? It's like it was my first time going to Party City, first time going to Michael's. Only because number one, I was with them. You know what I'm saying? Outside of that, I got no reason to go in there. So
you're not a crafter.
So we went to this other store. I forgot the name of this store, but the person was that I was with was telling me how this place is Christian owned and whatnot, but still
is it
I don't know
a
how
craft
many
store?
Employees. I want to say something like that. I really can't remember the name.
Sounds like Hobby Lobby.
Could be, but that's not exactly the name of it, or was it? I can't remember. But anyway, again, there. I don't know how many employees we passed by, but there was no issues. There was actually no issues. So now we see. I think it just we already know there's no laws and all that stuff, and we got to repeatedly, you know, keep on educating these people and tell them, you know, you're wrong. You know, because as you know, it's gonna get to a point where we're like, it's annoying. It's completely annoying. You know, and no matter how nice they are about it, it's just annoying when they approach you, you know, knowing that you're not doing anything wrong, but they just want to keep on making up stuff to get you to leave, you know. Now, of course, if it is, and we talked about it before, if it is in corporate policy and it's in black and white, you know, probably can't fight it too much. You know, matter of fact, a couple months ago, before I left Jacksonville, I went to a movie theater on a Saturday. This was the same movie theater that I went to time and time again with no issues until somebody said something was wrong with their concession stand. There was two people standing at the front entrance and like, oh, you need shoes. And now I'm like, huh? You know, because I was told them, like, you know, do you have it in black and white? You know, then I pulled the dude to the side that stopped me. I was like, but all the times I've been here, I never had an issue. And sure enough, he showed me in black and white that they said all guests need to be fully clothed. That includes shoes too. So I freak. You know, I mean, all the times I've been in the same movie theater. Never had a problem.
No one said
or
anything
an issue
to you.
Until that one right there. You know? So that right there, you know, you showed me in black and white that it's y'all's rule. So I didn't fight it because, I mean, it's like, to me, how can you possibly defend that?
Not in a brief interaction. It would take more time than just that.
Yeah, like you having to, you know, have laws and proofs to show that's not an argument.
Well, technically, to go to the movie, you have to pay to see the movie, so it's a place you have to pay to get into, so therefore it's private property.
I'm pretty sure, I have Barefoot is Legal up, but I'm pretty sure on a page, it does have a thing.
What?
By the state, by law. Let me see if I can find Virginia's. But if you want
to say Virginia or West Virginia? Are you in Virginia or West Virginia?
No, I'm in Virginia Beach, Virginia. So, I lost my train of thought. But however, yeah. So, yeah. Is it like a dude showed me in black and white? You know, the policy, so I just couldn't fight that too much, to be honest. So, and for me, it's like, if I still say that if I'm a business owner, you know what I'm saying, I'm not going to put that, you know, in my policy. You know, I'm let you shop, do what you do, have a good time, stuff like that, because I want your business and your money. You know, I really wants your damn money. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
So let's say I got let's say I got a music store open, right? And you and Phoenix come in there with a bikini on. Am I going to kick you out? Most likely not. I'd be like, can I help you, or do you want to buy a tambourine or something, or a cowbell or something? You know, I'm not. Or now, of course,
right.
Other customers will complain. Now, of course, other customers will complain because you probably are in a bikini and they're expecting to kick you out. But technically, you're still clothed. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think it's against the law for you to go into
an
establishment
with
a
like, well, if the customer is always right, you're like, well, if the customer is always, how can the customer always be right when every customer has a different opinion? So
yeah,
they're not being rude or disrespectful, so why would I make them leave?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're not disrupting the business, causing a riot and stuff like that. You're just in some bikini, and I don't know if bikini counts as clothes, but you're still covered up. You know, so,
right.
You know, I'm just saying you're still covered up.
It's apparel, so technically clothes. Yeah. I mean, I'm not the type that goes around, walks around in a bikini just because I'm not comfortable that way. But, I mean, I'm also the type that goes around barefoot even though other people aren't comfortable that way.
Well,
so it's not about,
I might have, a swim top and, like, shorts. And believe me, I've had some people be like, even in the most hippie areas, you'll always have some of those people that aren't hippie or punk or anything like that. They're, you know, very, you know, conservative.
Or mind your business,
you know,
minded.
And, like, I'm like, dude, it's 90-plus degrees out in the summer.
I've got, like, somewhere on one suit. So, like, I've got, like, some suit with, like, a
skirt
on or something.
So, like, I've had, like, you know, a swim top and, like, shorts on. Sometimes you'll get those people. But most people are not bothered.
They don't care.
Most people don't even notice. I mean, you'll sometimes get those creepy
people. They notice.
And they notice, and I notice they're creepy. And, of course, I don't want that. Like, I'm just trying to exist, and it's hot out, and I'm sweating, and, yeah, it's gross, if anything.
But it's the same thing with shoes, though. It's
like, most people don't care, because the thing is, again, you're not violating any laws wearing a swim top.
Well, and they understand that it's not their freaking business.
Yeah, because, yes, there are
If you can mind your business when someone's wearing a scantily clad bikini, why can't you mind your own business when they're barefoot?
Yeah, and so it's, like, the same thing, though. There's most people, I mean, if they're judging you, it's more of, like, a moral, like, religious thing, I feel like, too. When
you
can, like, with
freedom
the swim
of that,
top
too.
But even if I'm wearing, like, a bikini top, swim top, whatever, I don't know, like, whatever you want to call it, like, most people, you know, they're aware of the fact that, you know, it's not breaking any laws, because, yes, there are actually a lot of places, even some around us, where it is technically legal in some places, even around here, for women to be topless in certain, like, places in public.
At the same time,
a lot of places are not, obviously, but most people know that a swim top, even if they're not aware about some of the more lax laws, they know a swim top isn't breaking any laws. So they just look away, or they mind their business or whatever, and they don't challenge it. I think
the one that always
cracks
me up
is
when there's a girl
aware that barefooting isn't, you know.
The one that always cracks me up is when there's a girl in a bikini, and then there's a dude shirtless, and the girl gets talked to.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because if you really, really think about it, right? If you really think about it, as long as your private parts are covered, you're good to go. That's all they want to see, your private parts covered. So you can show as much skin as you want to, as long as your private parts are covered. Now, of course, I still get it different for men and women. I still get that, you know. And of course, I'm all for free to nipple and stuff like that, you know. You know, I guess nipples are seen as sexual. Maybe that's why I can't walk around topless.
I was right into when I was breastfeeding my children. People wanted to get all butt hurt, and I'm like, his breasts have been over-sexualized in this country, straight up.
Well, and sometimes I even wonder if that's part of the feet thing, is some people think that immediately assume it. I think some people really immediately assume, because I've had interactions where people assume that barefooting equals some kind of thing like that. It's like, you know,
someone I'm close to literally came up to me. She'd been following me and my social media and whatnot. This was last year, and she said, "You really have a foot fetish, don't you?" And I was like, "Not actually. I just hate shoes." Which anybody that actually knows me knows, like, if you do, fine. I don't care, but I don't, and I don't appreciate you putting that on me.
Yeah.
But, like, you can again with everything else, you can have your own views that. Just because I stare for bare feet doesn't mean I stare for stands, you know,
that's what you're into.
That's my goal, you know. So, like,
What, you know, that,
I,
that's,
yeah.
That's, that's the one thing I don't understand about some of these posts. Like, why do people like to post dirty foot pictures? Nobody wants to see that. Nobody needs to see that.
You'd be surprised.
I don't need to
see that.
Look, I honestly don't need to see how your feet are after walking barefoot all day. I mean, really, just keep that in your phone or something. There's no need to blast dirty foot pictures in the group.
But it's the same thing, though, as with any of the other feet pics. Like, it's all about preference. There's those that have the different preferences. So that's why I try not to get too...
Well, but I think the discomfort is in the people that come in to...
People that would make sex comments about my feet, and I'm like, bro, I know what my feet go through. That's gross.
And I understand, like, the aesthetic aspect of it being like, ew, like, seeing how, you know, gross the bum feet can get is, like, not, you know, something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure that wasn't meant to sound that way either. I'm sorry.
But I know some people like to show, like, oh, like, you can tell how much barefooting I did today, so that may show it off. But I think the issue is really with people that come into safe, family-friendly, supportive communities and bring in their sexualized, objectifying ideologies. And that is something Barefoot is Legal does not, you know, stand for, people just bringing that in, just unsolicitedly just harassing people. So if you ever have any problems on the Facebook page group, definitely contact admin team and they will take care of it.
Yeah, we will.
Because that will not be tolerated. But I think the problem is there's so much of that, even like outside of Barefoot is Legal, there are just, you know, it can feel, certain people can definitely kind of push things. And that can make people who don't look at this in that kind of context, just us very feeling off-putted and even sexualized and objectified. Is bringing other purpose to our life, and we're not really seeking out to engage in those kinds of ways, that it's uncomfortable, you know? And so I think it's just about, like, obviously I have no shame to people, like, you do you. If that's your thing, that's your thing. But just find the places, the platforms and communities for you, and be respectful, you know? And I'm not here to, you know, tell you all the rules, but just be respectful of our, you know, barefooting, family-friendly, you know, community at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, I just realized we are coming up on the last 2 minutes of the show here with Barefoot is Legal Radio. Was there anything you wanted to say, Kevin, before we let you off?
No, just be healthy and stay barefoot. Stand up for your rights.
Yeah.
Great.
Don't be a jerk.
Oh, well, we just got the this
90-second warning.
I can't. I thought it was 60 seconds. So it's
60
seconds. Sorry. We got the 90-second warning. So it was great talking to you, Kevin. Hopefully we can talk again
soon.
But take care, have a great one, and be safe out there, and sorry to hear about all the stuff to deal with, but just keep doing your best to stand up for yourself. Maybe check out barefootislegal.org if you haven't already, for like any documentation that might help, but just, you're not doing anything wrong, you're doing great, keep living your best barefoot lifestyle, and hang in there. Bye.
Always.
Well, this has been Barefoot is Legal Radio with Phoenix and Audrey. And, so if you come back next week, if you want to listen again, hear more about barefooting. But Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as its advocacy, awareness, and support. Check us out on barefootislegal.org. Take care, guys. Keep living your best barefoot lifestyle. Bye-bye.
Be kind when you can, don't.